Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I am actually currently looking for a kicker because we have Joey, I believe it's pronounced Sly, from the Carolina Panthers, and he was placed on IR or COVID IR or whatever they're calling it. So I am in the process of trying to hunt somebody down. But hey, if you'd like to call in and talk to me, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us or me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did pop up there this morning, so swing on over there, check it out when you get the opportunity. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, I am on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. That's BurkeTime. And hopefully Dan will be along any minute. He is tied up at work right now, so we will hopefully be picking him up there soon, and we can kind of go from there. But yeah, you know, I mean, I mentioned it to you before. I'm having an injury prone type season for whatever reason. It just kind of seems to be going that way for me, no matter what league I seem to be playing in. So it's just kind of like, oh, okay, here we go. Let's add one more guy to the list there, and we'll deal with that. So yeah, it's, you know, and this is the money league team that I, of course, share with Mr. Fantasy. So, you know, I have to make sure we're all set for our lineup and everything. And I know we're still looking for a tight end, and I put in a claim on Logan Thomas, and then he came up on the frickin' injury list. So it's just kind of like, really, you know, what's the problem there? He came up with some type of neck injury, or he's listed with a neck injury, and I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, great. So but yeah, you know, the quick update, I'm sure you may have remembered the Philip Rivers story I told from Monday. It did end up costing us both our games. We lost both games last week. If we would have had Philip Rivers, we would have at least split. But yeah, the fact that we were down the the quarterback like that and had to go to Baker Mayfield cost us. That, you know, bottom line, it cost us pretty much everything for the week. So yeah, we dropped out of having a big time kind of monstrous week to, or monstrous league, or, you know, because I think we were in God, what were we in? I think we were tied for first place in our division, and now we are two games behind in our division. So yeah, it'll be one of those goofy things, and we do look like we'll be on the outside in on point scoring again. So we're going to have to find a way to get in by winning, because I don't want us to get the shaft again. You know, oh, well, you had a good record, but you didn't score enough points, so you can't be in the playoffs. You know, I don't want to deal with that BS again, but we'll see how it goes. So hopefully I'll land one of these kickers I put a claim in for, and we can kind of roll along from there. And hopefully Mr. Fantasy is checking it, but We haven't seen any changes he suggested for the week, so we'll see what happens. But Dan has wandered in to join us. How are you, Dan?
Oh, just excellent. I
Well, that's
had a
good.
good night last night
For
for the Dodgers and baseball.
oh, well, see, you know, it would have been a bad night for me because I would have lost a ton of money gambling because I had the Rays to keep it close and the score to go under, and I was wrong on both counts. So that would not have been fun for me.
Good thing you don't gamble.
Yeah, really good thing I don't gamble. So, but yeah, you know, interestingly, I think I ended up being asleep before either team scored because they didn't score until what was it, the fourth. I did have it on the good old Echo Dot, and one of the home run calls woke me up because he got a little excited. I don't remember which broadcast I was listening to. But yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, somebody homered. But yeah, it didn't turn out to be much of a game, did it?
Not really. I mean, you could just see the life being sucked out of the Rays starting pitcher, Tyler Glasnow, as he sat on the bench. Because he was awarded 6 runs after was it Yarbrough came in and gave up the additional, gave up a couple hits that brought in
Yeah.
the extra 2 or 3 runs. So, kind of, I mean, let's be honest. So, what did you base your theory on? Because this is, I don't think this is any different than anyone else would have imagined. Or not what happened, but what you threw out there. Close game, you're looking at it from all sides, and if this whole championship series tells you anything, that you would have been expecting a close game, with both pitchers on the mound. So to see Glasnow kind of get lit up, is it just the way baseball works out, where you've got your highs and your lows, and unfortunately he's going on that downslide?
Yeah, you know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I wonder if maybe the stage was a little too big for him. You know, because he walked six guys. He did strike out eight, but when you walk six guys, you're asking for trouble. And now he hasn't been that wild in any of his other starts.
No,
So
but
I
six
don't
runs on three
know.
hits, right?
He what?
I said that was about 6 runs on 3 hits, I think it was.
Yeah, he got charged with 6 runs. He only gave up the 3 hits. But yeah, you know, the 6 walks, you know, that again, you know, that's gonna kill you. So it, you know, it's not, you know, like when I saw the stat line, I'm not really surprised that they lost. I'm surprised that they ended up giving up 8 runs because normally, you know, their bullpen is better than that. But you know, Yarbrough got touched up, so that didn't help. And I know those runs got charged to Glasnow, but Yarbrough was the one giving up
Yeah.
the hit. You know, and then I believe I want to double check and make sure I get the name right. Yeah, Fleming came in and, you know, he gave them some innings, 2 2/3, which is a lot for a Tampa Bay pitcher, especially a reliever. But you know, he pretty much got knocked around. The five hits, a couple runs. You know, he gave up the home run to Bettis. So it, you know, even after Tampa put up two there in the top of the seventh, and it looked like they had a chance to maybe make a miraculous comeback. You know, Baez came in and shut him down in the eighth, and you know, Kelly came in and worked a 1-2-3 ninth. So it, yeah, it's just kind of you know, kind of surprising because, like, when Yarbrough came in, he pitched two-thirds of an inning, but he gave up two hits. And runners scored on both of those two hits.
Mm-hmm.
So he just added to the fire that Glasnow started. And it was just kind of surprising. And after getting beaten so badly last night, I almost think tonight is kind of a must win for Tampa. They've got to be able to show that they can play with the Dodgers. And unfortunately, I think if they get beat tonight, we may see them either get swept or lose very quickly in five games.
Do you think it'll go that quickly? I didn't really.
You know, if they can't play any better tonight, I think that's going to be a problem. So. That will be the of course the one big advantage they have tonight is, you know, Dave Roberts has came out and flat out said that it's going to be a bullpen game for the Dodgers tonight. I don't know what their analytics told them that they shouldn't be starting Julio Urias. My guess is he'll probably make an appearance tonight, but Tony Gosselin is going to get the start. Oh, so we'll see how many innings he can give them, but I don't expect more than maybe two or three. You know, obviously the Rays are countering with Blake Snell, who's a Cy Young Award winner. We heard Snell, talk a lot of crap while baseball wasn't playing about wanting to get his money. Well, now it's time for him to go out there and earn his money because his team needs him and he needs to step up. So, but it's clear that Tampa has a pitching advantage tonight, but you've just got to wonder if they're going to frickin' hit, because for whatever reason, if they don't hit a home run, they don't score. And obviously you're not going to win a ton of games that way.
No, not at all.
So, but yeah, it's just one of those, one of those kind of, it's almost an unfortunate situation when, you kind of look at Tampa and yeah, they're a nice story, but did they get exposed? Or did they just run into the best pitcher in the last 10 years? So, that's the big question is, can whoever ends up going to the mound tonight, we know it's going to be Gosselin and then a slew of relievers. And luckily, the Dodgers used four relievers last night because, I guess I'll get to that in a minute, but none of them threw more than 15 pitches. Were you a little surprised that they only left Kershaw out there for 78 pitches when he was rolling along and probably could have gave them another inning or two? Or do you think maybe since the game was in hand, they got him out so he can come back in game four or five?
I think that's the most likely scenario. It was such a game to win that, if the bullpen blew it, they would have blown it either way, right? With that
lead
they had. So, I think it was just a matter of preserving him. I'm sure analytics had something to do with it, but preserving him for the next start, which should be on Saturday, game four.
Yeah, I think it's going to depend on how the series goes, because I wouldn't surprise if they give him an extra day. If they're up 3-1, going into Saturday, or you know, even if they're up 3, or I guess they would be up 3-0 going into Saturday because there's an off day. I wouldn't be surprised if they pushed him back a day. So, but we, you know, we do have the lineups for both teams again, and there, you know, there's definitely some changes. The Rays are going with Austin Meadows leading off. Brandon Lau is hitting second. Randy Arozarena hits third. G-Man Choi is fourth. Manuel Margot is fifth. Joey Wendell hits sixth. Willy Adames hits seventh. Kevin Kiermaier hits eighth. And Mike Zunino hits ninth. The Dodgers look like this tonight. It's Mookie Betts leading off. Corey Seager hits second. Justin Turner is third. Max Muncy is fourth. Will Smith is fifth. Cody Bellinger hits sixth. A.J. Pollock hits seventh. My guy, my MVP, Kiki Hernandez, hits eighth. And then Chris Taylor hits ninth. So it's the Dodgers analytical lineup against left-handed pitching tonight, because that's what this is. This is the lineup they start against all lefties. And then if Tampa Bay goes to a righty, you'll probably see some changes. So, but yeah, other than that, I mean, you know, not a ton of unexpected changes. You know, there's no big surprises anywhere, but we'll see how it goes. Do you possibly think that Tampa gets the win with the pitching advantage, or do you maybe not think they have a pitching advantage?
Don't necessarily think that they're putting out a pitching advantage. I mean, you know, your biggest question is, why isn't Reyes starting? Maybe the what he's been doing, they don't want to mess up, so to speak. And instead of putting all that pressure on him for starting the game, bringing him in later, third, fourth inning, might be more conducive and helpful for the team, no?
Well, you know, I would buy that a little more if they weren't starting a rookie. But, you know, Gonsolin is a rookie. So, you know, it's not like they're running a veteran guy out there to make a start. You know, you would think Urias would probably be in a better frame of mind, and he is a starter. You know, it's not like you're using an opener like Tampa Bay would, and it's a reliever who's going to give you one inning. You know, you're looking at a guy who can give you multiple innings. You know, maybe it's flipped and it's Gosselin's the one that needs to make the start, or else he just can't get going out of the bullpen, where, you know, Urias has showed that he can do it. So, you know, maybe that's more of the plan, but, you know, let's face it, Gonsolin hasn't been very good. You know, we're talking about a guy with a postseason ERA of, I think it's over 9. So, you know, it's great that you won game one, but I think I would have rather had a guy who's shown some quality in these playoffs making the start. But, you know, if this is what the computer spits out, this is what the computer spits out, and Dave Roberts sends it in. So here we go. We'll see how it works.
Yeah, well, there's that, and the fact that, you know, maybe they're trying to preserve as much of the starting pitching as they can, with the expectation that the series, not the expectation, but in considering that the series may go 7 games.
You know, maybe, but, you know, the weird thing is it's not like Urias has given them a ton of postseason innings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I could see if he was overloaded or overworked, but, you know, we're not talking about a guy who has really been, you know, beaten to death. You know, when it comes to pitching, and I want to double check, I want to see how many postseason innings he's thrown. But, even in his last appearance, you know, we're talking about a starting pitcher who only pitched 3 innings. So, you know, it's not like he's out there giving them 7, 8 every time. So it's I just a lot of it I don't understand. And again, I'm never gonna really kind of know what the hell they're doing because it's all analytic, and I don't understand why teams do that to themselves. But that's how they got here. So yeah, he has pitched 16 postseason innings over four appearances. So he's only given them, on average, four innings every time he's popped up in a game. But he hasn't pitched since, what, game seven? So he's been off for, what, 3 or 4 days? So,
Yeah,
he's only
what
made
did
one
you?
start, first three appearances, and been out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going with it. If that's what's been working, why would you want to mess that up?
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather have the guy go out there who's got a 0.56 ERA and maybe shut the Rays down compared to the guy who's given you 6 1/3 innings and has a 9.95 ERA? Because obviously the last thing you want is to give the Rays offense any momentum. I think even Dustin May would have been. There's so many better choices that I think the Dodgers could have turned to that I don't understand why Gonsolin is the guy, and nobody's really been able to explain it. Dave Roberts didn't offer any explanation. And if he would have came out and said, well, it's been working with, Urias or May or whoever coming out of the bullpen, that would have been great. But by not saying anything, don't you just leave yourself open to all these questions?
Pretty much. You can blame it on analytics.
Right. There's no saying that, Gonsolin can't go out and give them three or four shutout innings. He's a really, good prospect, which is no surprise because he's a freaking Dodger pitcher, and it seems like every Dodger pitcher is a fantastic prospect. But yeah, you just, and I'm not saying it's a bad choice. I'm not saying it's a good choice. I just kind of want to know why it was the choice. So, that's just kind of where I'm at. But, again, they have a system that they use, and they're gonna stay with it, and that's what we get. So there you go.
Yeah, well, and part of it could be, like you said, it's an analytics-based team. Analytics bear so much weight on first time, second time, third time through the order that, while the kid starting today may have the higher average or ERA, there could be the likely possibility that, he has better numbers when he's being seen first. And again, I think this is also them alluding to the fact that the series has a possibility of going extra, a full seven, more games, and they don't want to put their entire hand out there right away for Tampa Bay to see.
Yeah,
Because right
I just.
now, I know, I mean, it's, I think what you're looking for is more of a ride or die, and I think that's maybe one of the things that's considered. Is the fact that, yeah, you can, throw what was the saying, all your marbles, throw it all out there and just hope it sticks, or you can kind of strategize.
Terrible.
And
That was a
that,
terrible
if you
analogy.
lose, it's, I don't remember what is the analogy? You got to help me out. I'm
I,
kind
th-
of
I thought
new.
you were going to say eggs in one basket, but you came up with marbles, so I don't know where the hell you
Yeah.
were going.
Hey, there, that's what I meant. Eggs in one basket. I can't remember. I knew they were round objects, so to speak. Well, they rolled at least. So, I think by not showing your full hand. This is just a risk that they're willing to take in the event that, you know, if they give up a game, concede a game, that this might be the one.
Yeah, and, you know, and oddly, the line is exactly the same as last night. The Dodgers are favored by a run and a half, but the over-under is 8 for tonight. I think it was 7.5 last night. It's 8 runs for tonight. I'm not even going to suggest what I would do because it was a disaster last night. So I would, if somebody asked me to bet on this game, I would run away screaming like a little girl. So I want nothing to do with it. But if you're interested, that's the line. You can get the Tampa Bay plus 1.5 runs, and then the over-under for the game is 8 runs total. So good luck. I hope you didn't listen to me yesterday and you won some money. So, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. Now, do you think with Kershaw being basically Kershaw last night, this will shed up some of these media guys who just continue to, you know, to dog him about his postseason struggles? Or do you think he needs to go out and have another kind of dominant start like this? You know, because that's all I heard yesterday is, well, Clayton Kershaw starting for the Dodgers, but he's had all these problems. So.
Yeah. I mean, did he have a lot of problems? Or?
Oh, yeah, he's had postseason issues. He had an ERA over 4 coming into last night, and obviously, you know, that's not Kershaw who dominates the regular season. But, yeah, so you think, what, he needs another start to shut these guys up? Or, you know, like, say he just goes out and he has an average start and he goes 6 or 7 innings and gives up 3 runs. Is that good enough, or does he have to go out and shut the Rays down again?
I think he needs to go out and shut the Rays down to kind of shut everyone up, redeem himself, you know, the whole nine.
So, yeah, that's kind of how I feel. And I'm sure you're not surprised by this, Dan, but I saw that the Dodger fans are apparently the ones buying the majority of the tickets for the World Series. Are you shocked and appalled that Tampa Bay fans don't want to go watch their team play in a World Series?
I think the ratio. Everyone knows. You got to imagine the ratio. You know, a 55,000 seat stadium that sells out on a regular basis compared to only 18,000 stadium that probably averages 3,000 per game.
Yeah, well, I think they're allowing 15,000 fans in. And
no,
the
I meant,
ratio.
Yeah,
right,
I meant,
oh,
I was
well,
you know,
for,
just throwing it out there.
Yeah, for game one, the ratio was about 2-1 Dodger fans to Rays fans, and apparently the average cost of a ticket is $706, according to VividSeats.com. So, oh, it's 11,500 for the game, not 15. I just saw it here. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I was just kind of throwing out the fact that Tampa doesn't draw because they don't have fans. So it shouldn't be like a surprise or anything when you've got a stadium for, you know, Dodger Stadium that can draw, you know, 55,000 a night. Almost every night compared to a 18,000 seat Tampa Bay stadium that probably on the average draws 3,000 fans a night.
So yeah, and then on the on another site called TickPick.com, their percentages are 34% of their ticket sales for the World Series are coming from California, 19 from Texas, 10% of the purchases were from Georgia while the Braves were still alive, and then 10% came from Florida. So Braves fans bought an equal number of World Series tickets to Rays fans. You know, and people from Texas bought more tickets, and they don't even have a horse in the race. But I guess, I guess if you can get $700 per ticket, or in this case, StubHub put out, the average was $632 for them. I'm sure it's just a money-making enterprise for you at this point, isn't it?
Oh, most certainly.
Because I'm sure those 10% of Braves fans aren't going, didn't go to Texas after the Braves got eliminated. They expect the ticket price for games 3 and games 4 to be closer to $900 for just one seat. Now you're insane when it comes to tickets. If the Cubs were in, would you buy a $900 ticket to see them play? And I guess B, would your wife let you?
No. I'd have to lie about that one.
Yeah, you'd got to figure out how to hide $900 from your wife, right? Is what you're trying to do?
Yeah. Billy Bean Company, right?
There you go. Yeah, we should have looked into that. I forgot what the name they were. Red something or other, right? Balloon or 99 Luft Balloons or something like that? No. We'll have to see how that one goes. But all right, so who you got tonight? You got the Dodgers jumping out 2-0, or you think Tampa wins?
I'm gonna go with the 2-0, just to make it fun.
So, and then if they do go 2-0, are you worried about your 7-game prediction there, or would you worry about the Dodgers maybe wrapping it up earlier?
The fact that I don't have a whole lot invested in that one, I'm not too worried about it. So it would be exciting. With the way the games go these days, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm actually. I'm not even sure what the best way to kind of look at it is, but I'm actually quite concerned if the Rays lose tonight. I think that could be that could just really be a big hole against the Dodger team that offense kind of woke up last night, and the last thing you want is that freaking offense rolling. So. But here, Dan, I gotta take some shots at this athlete because it just kind of drives me nuts. But apparently, and there's a report on MLB.com that good old LeBron James was live tweeting the Dodgers game 1 win, and now apparently, after coming out for I don't know how many years and proclaiming to be a Yankee fan and going to Yankee playoff games and everything, now all of a sudden this guy's magically a Dodgers fan. I guess I get it. He's showing no loyalty in his NBA career, so, why would he be loyal to a team he roots for? But, this almost, Dan, sounds like either, A, he's incredibly immature because this is something a little kid does, or B, he just wants to make sure he kisses ass because he lives in L.A. now. So, and I'm kind of guessing it's more of the second one. But then I guess the third thing I want to know, Dan, is why the hell is MLB.com reporting about this, and who cares besides me? So answer all three of those questions.
Yeah, I have no clue why.
Any order you want.
Last night they referred to Mookie Betts as the LeBron of Major League Baseball, and I could see that talent-wise, but, let's be honest. I would think if you give it a few more years, LeBron would be the Mookie Betts of the NBA because Mookie Betts is an all-around athlete. LeBron, from what I know, is a basketball player. So if you put these two up against each other in any other sport, I think Mookie wins, beats him out. There's that dumb analogy, but I don't know. I guess I'd have to see the context, but I mean, I'm not hugely upset about it or anything. I mean, don't forget when the Cubs' number one fan is, well, their greatest hope was LeBron James showing up in Cleveland. A Cleveland Cavalier, aka New York Yankees fan. Oddly, when he showed up, the Indians lost. So, there's that. And then he had to don the Cubs uniform with his bet against Dwayne Wade. But, I mean, like you said, I think he's got to do what he's got to do. He's in LA. He's going to be rooted in LA. I think he's going to finish his career there, whether it's 4 more years or, until he's 40. You never know with NBA. So he's got to do what he's got to do. And plus, don't forget, Kobe was the Lakers. So everywhere he goes, he's always trying to fill shoes. And I
Yeah.
think that might be one of those things that, he's LeBron, just be LeBron, trying to fill everyone else's
And
shoes.
to
Or
be
is it just
fair,
that?
the Mookie Betts comparison is a little bit off because Mookie Betts didn't run from team to team to try to win a title. He was traded to Los Angeles. So he's not here to chase a title like LeBron did when he went to Miami and now to LA. Mookie's not chasing World Series rings. He got dealt here, so he's just doing what he's supposed to do. So there's a big difference in that. And while you brought up Mookie Betts, thankfully he not only stole one base last night, but he stole two. So we get free tacos, I believe it's a week. I believe it's October 28th. You can go get your free taco.
The Dorito Locos taco or just the regular?
No, I believe it is the Dorito Locos that sponsored it again. I didn't look that much into it. I just saw free taco and got excited. But I believe yesterday I did read that it was the Doritos Corporation sponsoring this again. I didn't see the time though, so check your local listings to find out what time it's going to be available because it is a limited window. It's not like you can just show up at, 11 a.m. or something and ask for your free taco. So just check, your local Taco Bell locations to find that out.
No, it'll be on the commercial. They'll announce it.
Yeah, they always do, but I'm just trying
It'll
to
be,
make sure.
it'll just be during a time where you'll probably be occupied. And
That's
the only
true.
reason I'm telling, saying don't ask your local Taco Bell because the kids that work there might not even know or care. They might look at you through the window like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but better yet, just try TacoBell.com or something. I'm sure
Yeah.
they will
An
have
update.
all the for you. So I'm actually
But
going to check that right now and see.
the flip side of it though, having LeBron tweet about it, being, the amount of followers he has that he's watching the game. Don't you think that's kind of a positive for baseball where they might lose out on a lot of, some NBA fans? So when you got LeBron interested, he does have a lot of influence, and you might get some kids that turn it on that may not have.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think so. Well, obviously, like you mentioned, he's got a ton of followers. I just don't think that, just because you follow somebody on Twitter doesn't really mean you pay attention to what they're doing, right? I mean, how many people do you follow that you actually you're looking at their tweets or you catch all their tweets? And stuff like that. So maybe he had a minor effect, and a couple people switched over. Not enough to make any real difference in what's going on. I think maybe, it may have made a difference had he been playing somewhere else and did this, because, it's Los Angeles is in the World Series. So the majority of their fans are going to watch anyways. But, if he was still in Miami or he was still in Cleveland and he started tweeting and talking about the World Series, maybe you get some fans from those areas to tune in and check out. Check it out, not check out, but check the game on them. But yeah, the fact that he's in LA, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. So, he's a clown. So, and he wears clown shoes. So, but all right, Dan, switching up here, and I'm super, super confused by this, and I'm hoping you can answer this for me, because I believe you used a number one pick in one of our fantasy drafts quite a few years ago to to draft this player. Why are so many teams interested in Antonio Brown, and apparently the Seahawks are the team that's kind of leading the list now? They say there are other teams interested, but no other names have come out. It's just been the Seahawks. Dan, I got to tell you, I don't want this clown on a team I root for, because let's face it, he's not only a jerk, but he's a team killer. And, the Seahawks are undefeated. I don't know why you would, unless you're trying to commit suicide, Dan, why would you take poison? Oh, you went away. Fix your Bluetooth.
Oh, that's fine. Didn't he, help the Raiders out?
He helped the Raiders out so much that he ended up playing one game for the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, that's how that works. So I'm kind of baffled myself. Is there nobody, and I don't want to say is there nobody better, but you're telling me that the pool, so to speak, has become so slim that you're going to make an offer to a guy who hasn't played in a while that's going to take several weeks to kind of get a groove? I mean, I guess if you're looking for the Super Bowl potential, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't honestly know if this guy will be any help. And you got to wonder if he's not getting the football as much as he thinks he should. Does he automatically begin to start trouble? Because he's gonna shoot his mouth off. He's gonna record his videos. He may even beat up another mover. You never know what's going on, because he'll have to move to Seattle. Hopefully he doesn't sexually harass any more women. That would be a big plus for him. But I just don't understand. I could see maybe a losing team or a borderline team thinking, okay, we've got a shot, let's bring this guy in. But we're talking about a team that's been 5-0, and the problem is the defense, not the offense. He's not going to help the defense unless he all of a sudden switch positions, which I doubt. So I don't get it, unless it's a situation where Pete Carroll thinks he's the smartest guy in the room and he can handle him. But if Bill Belichick couldn't, how the hell is Pete Carroll?
Yeah, I mean, there's that. And how much of it can be used as a decoy?
Point,
just the media coverage. And then having him on the field, would his presence present enough of a decoy for the opposing team's defense to where you can kind of mask your defense with that. And I know this sounds, I don't know if I just ran you in a circle or made you crazy cross-eyed, but
Both.
It might put more work on their defense if they're going after Antonio Brown, that other guy that I'm mad at for taking away catches from Ty. Oh, I needed it most. You're putting their defense to work a little bit more, so maybe they're on the field longer. Does that kind of give you an advantage? Or is it, does
You
it
know,
get that strategical?
I guess the problem is we're talking about a guy who's played one game now in basically a season and a half. Does he deserve that much respect? Or
No.
does he have to show up when he can still perform before another team even worries about him?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know how you can put value on a guy like he, Colin Kaepernick, which obviously Moss or Moss Antonio Brown has more playing time than he does at this current moment. But when you think about it, you put either one of these guys, you have a better advantage signing Antonio Brown in the middle of the season and not having to listen to the "is he going to start" questions, this and that. He's got to already fit the plan, so maybe they have a plan in motion. But if we wrap the season up and guys are talking about it again, and you get passed through all the workouts, the camps, and you're still going to sign a guy who's 2 seasons out, I don't know how you put any value on that. The guy hasn't played. Is the NFL truly like riding a bicycle for these guys? I don't, I really don't see that.
Yeah, it just seems so weird, and it's just kind of like, okay, do we really need to add, I mean, like this is, it's almost like you're willingly going out to get cancer, and I don't know anybody who would want that. And I mean, we're talking about a player who ended up not being able to work with Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who has turned out to be one of the best coaches in the league. He couldn't work with Jon Gruden when he was with the Raiders, who's a Super Bowl winning coach, and the Raiders are a winning franchise, so it looks like he knows what he's doing. And then he gets one game with the Patriots, and Bill Belichick, who is arguably the best coach ever. And now they magically think what? That somebody waved a Harry Potter wand over his head and he's reformed, and Pete Carroll is going to be able to handle him? I see this as just an incredibly stupid move by a team that could legitimately be a Super Bowl contender. And I just, it doesn't make sense to me.
If they took a look at him and signed him for the rest of the season, but the only money that was guaranteed would be the days played, would that just, well, I probably, from what you're saying, it wouldn't make sense to you either way. But is it worth the look to add depth?
I guess technically it's always worth to look at the guy, but you bring him in and you work him out to do that. You don't sign him and then just kind of like, oh, hey, let's do this with him. So I'm kind of under the impression, they've already worked him out, so they kind of already know what they're getting. I just don't know. I mean, maybe there'll be some more info coming out in the days to come, but again, just the idea of adding this guy, to your locker room that you know, seems to get along okay. You know, when you probably should have been out looking for defensive players, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, like I said, the offense isn't the problem. But I don't know. It's just baffling. And, you know, and the worst part is, Dan, you know, is if they sign him, it's going to make them much harder for me to root for him. Because he's a complete toolball. You know, I mean, there's no other way to describe this guy. I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy who, like I said, actually beat up a mover. You know, who knows why, he just decided to beat up a mover. He's had two or maybe three charges of sexual assault made at him towards different women. He's been suspended multiple times by the NFL. But I guess apparently they think he has talent, so he keeps getting chance after chance, because that's how it goes in professional sports, right? If you have talent, there's always somebody willing to bring in.
Pretty much trumps it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, and it's just, you know, like if it was any other team, I probably wouldn't care this much. But the fact that it's the Seahawks, it bothers me, and I think it's an incredibly stupid move. You know, and I hope it doesn't blow up in their face and cost them a season, because, you know, their division is, you know, is still really close. You know, they're 5-0 and sitting on top of it, but they're playing Arizona this week, who's, you know, 4-2 and in second place behind them. The Rams have the Bears this week. They're also 4-2, and I got to think, being at home, they're going to beat the Bears on Monday night. Of course, with the luck the Bears have had, God only knows what could happen. The whole Rams could actually come down with COVID right on the field, and the Bears could run over them. And then the 49ers are 3-3, so they're still not out of it. You know, there's not a losing team in that division. So, you know, you bring a jackass like this into your locker room, and he disrupts the team, and the next thing you know, you're out of the playoffs. But, well, you know, hopefully they won't sign him. Maybe, you know, it's not official yet. Maybe they'll smarten up, or, you know, he'll do something stupid and make them decide that they don't want to bring him in. Maybe he won't be able to wear the helmet he wants to, or something, like the problem he had with the Raiders. So, who knows? So. Oh, and, I forgot to ask you this one. Did you see, and this was, again, a Twitter thing, apparently, I only had a couple people do it on my timeline, but it was kind of out there. Apparently, there were people complaining that Tom Brady did the voiceover for some of the setup videos for the World Series. And I'm guessing these people are probably just baseball fans and may not realize that Brady actually now plays in Tampa Bay, and that's why he was out there. But I thought that was kind of funny, because they jumped all over him for having Brady do it. So,
I mean, let's be honest, or I'll be honest, I didn't know it was Brady until the commercial was over, and, you know, whoever's broadcasting, oh, Smoltz and Buck, so one of them said it. Of course, it was Buck, because he had the goat.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of hearing the goat.
I mean, if you think about it, Dan, who are you going to get from Tampa Bay? You know, if you're not going to get Dick Vitale, and my guess is Fox wouldn't want him because he's contracted to the Mickey Mouse Network, you know, you've got to get Brady. And then if you're going to do something where you see the guy, you got to get Gronk, right? Because he's got all that goofy frat boy energy. Can you think of somebody else from Tampa that you would have went with besides those three guys?
No. And, you know, after hearing that it was Tom Brady, all I could think of was, damn, he's got a good voice for this. And then I thought, we're never going to not hear from Tom Brady. Tom Brady is going to be more famous when he's done with football than he was for being famous for football. Unless he just packs it up and sits inside his mansions all the time, but you know, his wife is you know, a media icon, more or less. I don't know how, what her, you know, what kind of, you know, she has products that she sells, and you know, the modeling career, you know, the whole nine. So he, I don't, with his, her as his wife, I just don't see him being a, you know, a guy, a recluse who we don't hear from again, like Sammy Sosa. But a different circumstance,
yeah, well,
obviously. But you know, I just thought he's gonna be big when he's done with football.
Yeah, well, you know, if you think about it, Dan, you know, obviously the Tampa Bay organization hasn't been around for that long, you know, the Rays. Who's the greatest Ray of all time that you could have gotten?
Evan Longoria, but he still plays.
I wanted to give you a little time there. Yeah, you know, I mean, Longoria would be one of them, but he's still playing. David Price, of course, but he's on the Dodgers. That would be kind of stupid. There's one guy I'm really surprised you didn't think of right off the bat. I thought this would be your first answer. How would it have been if Ben Zobrist had done that video?
No one would have known.
So, you know, because the other Ray that popped into my head was Carl Crawford, but I think he ended his career with the Dodgers.
With the Dodgers.
So, yeah, I don't know how that would have worked out. You know, was Fred McGriff there long enough to be considered a guy like that, or maybe a James Shields? You know, but I think, you know, I would lean towards McGriff. So, but yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you, you know, anybody else. So
it did its job though. You put Tom Brady's voice on there, and you know, we're not talking about baseball technically. We're talking about Tom Brady doing a voiceover. Which,
yeah, you know, like I said,
like
it's funny.
No, and I just don't understand why people get so, you know, that's, and, you know, I'm going to get the okay boomer comments on this one because it's totally in that realm. But, you know, thinking about when I grew up compared to now, you know, it was kind of nice when it was quieter. And while we all do have our voice, we didn't have to hear everyone. Just the idiots that you were in vicinity of. Now you get to hear everyone's voice, and it's like, what does it matter that Tom Brady did the commercial? I don't care. He could play for, you know, the CFL and come in and do it. I don't care. You know, he didn't say 30 times. Granted, there's digital editing for that. So I don't know. It was a great voiceover. I don't care who did it. And, you know, to be honest, when I found out Tom Brady did it, I didn't even put the connection together that he was a Buccaneer and Tampa being in the World Series. I just was like, oh, they picked Tom Brady.
I actually didn't even really think about it, so I saw people start complaining about it. And I was just kind of like, well, why do you think they picked an idiot? So,
yeah.
You know, it was just kind of like, of course, he's with Tampa Bay now, so they're, you know, they're going to pick him. But, yeah, it's like, really, this is what we're got to complain about Tom Brady some other way? Get on over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Go back to the Twitter feed, of course, is at Sports Center. Open. Feel free to look Dan and I up on Twitter if you're interested. And if you stop down and listen to us live, we'll thank you for being there. Maybe you can put a top 30 debate. But if you miss it, you can come on over to Facebook.com and you can listen to us all of your own. See you.
For some radio dot.